through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
Morena. How are you, Charlie?
I'm pretty good. I'm waking up from my slumber.
Nice one. Sounding good so far. I've been tuning in for about 20 minutes and it's been sounding awesome.
Fantastic news.
Wonderful.
Hey, does anyone know why Gmail is trending on Twitter, by the way?
No.
I just opened up my phone seconds before and I was like, is that thing
but
down
But sometimes
again?
I feel like things trend on Twitter that I'm not so sure about.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just random, mate.
The speed at which
they trend and then fall out of...
But nothing's actually happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sweet. So, local media news. Nathan Rariri has been named as the permanent new host of First Up on RNZ, which is the slot between 5 and 6 a.m. He's been acting in that role for the past... 4 or 5 months anyway, so congrats to Nathan, good dude. He'll be, I'm sure, a good mainstay on that slot.
I've just realised how early that is.
It's so early.
It's so early.
That's before I wake up.
I do breakfast, you know, we start at 7.
Irons is quite prescriptive, right, because it's like the state-owned, you know, broadcaster. But it's an interesting time slot because it's one of those ones where no one's paying a lot of attention. Where if you had it on like Magic Talk or News Talk ZB, you could really mess around and do some cool shit on there. But I'm sure it'll be great. He'll be great. And also anyone listening to this slot, it will be irrelevant for. And more light local news, there's been a deep fake that has gone a little bit viral in New Zealand last few days of Jacinda Ardern and Clark Gayford being transposed on top of a scene from The Princess Bride where Clark Gayford is the farm boy and Jacinda is the maiden. Mm. And it's like, it's, you know, it's funny, it's lols, it's all good. But it's just a reminder that these deep fakes, as they get slightly better than they are now, which is inevitable and it won't take very long, they're going to be a big threat to us trying to determine what videos are real and which ones aren't. Mm. Like, I had this prediction, which I didn't say on BFM. In fact, I don't even know if I said it out loud. But I always thought
Speak into existence now.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen. I thought that the Trump P tape was going to come out.
Yeah.
And I thought that Trump would use the deepfake defense when it did.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah. Or like maybe someone would deepfake the video and release it. And it would be like the first big deepfake controversy where we weren't sure if it was real or not. So at some point, this is going to happen where there's going to be a real spicy video and people are going to claim deepfake and we're not going to know.
And do you think we don't have the processes to kind of like the government or different organizations to kind of call this out or kind of say, okay, this is a deep fake? Do you think
the
technology
government sucks at technology
stuff? Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
The technology is like rocketing ahead at such a quick rate. Mm. There are some tools that people are trying to develop where an AI could detect the work of another AI that has created it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how effective that is.
Crikey.
Yeah. So it's all robots versus robots from here on in, folks. In a slightly more interesting twist for me of something that I've been paying attention to and talking about on this slot for a few months now. So Australia's had this ongoing saga of trying to force Facebook into paying news organisations in Australia because they're using their content to profit and basically taking away the ad revenue from those news organisations. Yep. So I think this has come about because of the deep pockets and legal resources of Rupert Murdoch, who has so many news outfits based in Australia. But the Australian government is attempting to change the law to force, I think it's Facebook and Twitter specifically, to make these payments to local news media. Mm. So the US has officially asked Australia to stop pursuing this proposed law. There was a letter issued from the executive office of the US president stating, and I quote, "The US government is concerned that an attempt through legislation to regulate the competitive positions of specific players to the clear detriment of two US firms may result in harmful outcomes." So that's
a threat.
Well, and I wouldn't read it as a threat yet per se.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't sort of list any fallout. Yeah, but it's a pretty serious step to have an official letter issued by the office of the president stating, "Hey, this law you're pursuing, don't."
Gosh,
and that's obviously to the benefit of Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, totally. Like, well, if the US is successful in quashing. This pursuit of the law change because it is I don't think it's going to affect Facebook too much, but they're just so aggressive about anything threatening any of their profits.
I feel like it's Zuckerberg versus Murdoch.
Yeah, it feels a bit like that. Although I don't, I need to look more into this to see if there is a Murdoch component to it, but I just assumed because it was Australia and they're actually kicking up a fuss that some rich oligarchic billionaire has something to do with it, is bankrolling it. So at the same time, Facebook has urged the Australian Senate to leave the organisation alone during an inquiry to media diversity. Facebook has stated that the commercial value of news content in Australia is, quote, virtually zero. And the proof they used of this is they rejigged the algorithm in 2018 to deprioritise news coming up on people's feeds and emphasise posts by friends and family, and it didn't affect traffic at all. So they're extrapolating from that that news has no worth.
Ouch.
Which is a pretty long bow to string. But
It's a bit of a burn.
Last bit, Parler. Do you guys remember Parler? That's the social media platform that kind of got taken up by the alt-right. It got used in a lot of the planning for the attack on the Capitol earlier this month. It got taken down by Amazon Web Services. Yeah. They cancelled their service agreement. It was held on their servers, and Amazon said, you got 24 hours to get some proper content moderation or we're taking you offline.
Yeah.
Parler refused, so they took it offline. It's coming back to life, it seems, very slowly with the help of a company that's owned by two Russian guys called DDoS Guard. And meanwhile, just before it got taken down by Amazon, there was this internet archivist who's on Twitter, at donk_NB, who managed to figure out that Parler had done a really terrible job of basically how they structured posts on the website. They were ordered sequentially in the URLs. So she automated a script that just stripped the entire website down and managed to capture 99% of it, 56 terabytes, which is really bad news for the users, because now the FBI... looking for all this evidence, and people posted all their ideas of what they were going to do, videos, photos, identifying themselves, and that is all now publicly available and available for law enforcement to sift through the entire website.
Wow, that's big news. Disappointing that Parler's coming back, but hey.
Yeah, well, TBC, but they're definitely trying.
So they're trying, they're going to rejig things, so it's sort of...
So
all right. Space. Well, that was full on.
That was really full on. Yeah, crikey.
Thanks, Tim.
No worries.
Thanks a lot.
Good on you, Charlie.
Cheers. We've got a track from The Veils coming up. It's called Calliope. And yeah, then we've got the news at 9:30 again. Hope you're having a good morning.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.